You know, the Lord always does exceedingly abundant beyond that which you can think or hope for, Ephesians 3:20. As the scripture starts and says, he is able. And he has validated that tonight. We were standing down here talking a while ago, and someone said all the children are coming in, and we're talking about that, and most of the parents will probably go. And I said, you know what? I just believe God wants us to have to get some more chairs out tonight. And we did. And tomorrow night, who knows what God wants to do? I do know this. From my life, and I'll share with you briefly before I get into the message, I'm no authority on revival. I'm certainly not an expert. I've read about it. I've studied about it. I've had lots of conversations about it. And one thing that I'd like to see before my day's end is the real thing. I've been in a place or two to where it was just right at the edge, Brother Stephen. One night we were in a church in Oklahoma, and we stayed till 10:30 that night. God worked amazingly that week. I want to see him do something in my life, because you see, the preacher doesn't bring revival. He needs revival. We all need revival, renewal, refreshing in the Lord. And so as we come to this time, I pray that you would make it a matter of prayer, and you would cry out to the Lord and seek him, that you may know him in a way that you've never known him. I am learning something in these days as I never dreamed would be a part of my life, Charles Hunt. And then me and this guy has known one another a long time, traveled a few miles together, ate a lot of good food together. But Charles Hunt is someone that, one of those guys he sung about that I can trust. Pastor David said a few weeks ago in a meeting that we needed 2 a.m. friends. I have some. But more than that, my main 2 a.m. friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I wake up in the night, I can come to him anytime I want to and spend time with him where no one, and I don't have to get on the phone. Though Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things of which you've not seen. So you can call on him, you just don't need an iPhone to do it. But when you think about revival, what do you think about? I think a lot of times it's a meeting, it's where you meet in the fall and the summer and spring, we used to do that. I believe it was Pastor Stephen last Wednesday night that made the comment about we used to have 2-week revivals and 1-week revival, and then we had 4-day revivals, and then we had 3-day, and then we had one, and then we had none. I'm not saying it's the cure-all. I'm not saying it's the answer to everything, but I do know this, that the Scripture speaks of revival many, many times. And there's a cry out for it in Isaiah 64, and I'd like for you to turn there if you have your Bible. And I want to ask the question, what is revival? What does it look like? Well, if we've never experienced it, we do not know. I hope you want to experience it. And when you do, it may not look like you think it's supposed to look. A lot of times we come to these times and we think about a lot of emotion, which I'm not opposed to. We think about a lot of hype, which it depends on how that is, to where I like it or not. But sometimes when God is speaking the loudest is when we're the quietest. That doesn't mean you can't say amen. But I do believe revival involves a spirit of brokenness, to where the spirit is broken and God speaks to you at the point of your greatest need. And I do not know what that is tonight, but I hope that you will hear and listen, and you're asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you and communicate you the word, not the preacher speak to you, but the Spirit of God speak to you by the word of God. Isaiah 64, Isaiah says, well, I want to read from the last two verses in 63 because it ties itself together. Isaiah says this, your holy people held position for a little while. Our adversaries have trampled down your sanctuary. We'll become like those over whom you have never ruled, like those who are not called by your name. I do not want to be a prophet of doom, but I will say to you tonight that I do believe that America has moved away and we can no longer lay the claim that we're a Christian nation. But in the midst of that, what shall we do? Because, see, the answer is the church. The answer is me and you and what we do. It's not about any political party at all. and I could name you about 15 of them, but I won't. But it's not about that. It's about the church and our cry, our heart cry, our desire for the things of God. He says in verse 19, we have become like those over whom you have never ruled, like those who are not called by your name. That's a tragedy. Verse 1 of verse 64, he says, oh, literally an emphatic word, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that your nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one is heard or perceived by the ear, no eye is seen, a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him joyfully, works righteousness. You meet him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you were angry and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time, and shall we be saved? We have all become like the one who is unclean. All of our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We will all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls upon the name who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us, and we have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Father, tonight, would you speak by the enabling power of your Holy Spirit? Would you draw, and may you so choose to use us, your church at Champion Forest, to be the springboard to revival in this country. We ask you, Lord, to move in our midst. We call unto you that you would meet with us tonight, that you would show up here and you would speak to our hearts, and we would, even in conviction, have great joy knowing you've spoken to us. We ask you, Lord, to most of all to be glorified and be honored and be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you may have heard of the man Leonard Ravenhill. If you've not read any of his material, I'd encourage you to. It's great reads. He says this, as long as we are content to live without revival, we will. And we will. And the Lord wants us to be revived. He wants us to walk in the fullness of his Spirit, allowing his Spirit to work through us and use us. There's people every day that I come in contact with what I do that they're in the Lord or they're out of the Lord. There's no middle ground. And I'm able to share with them and visit with them and plant a seed and hope that someone will come along beside me and water it and bring forth good fruit. But as long as we are content to live without revival, we shall. I'm not sure that there's a definition that has been given that will speak to all of us. But there is one that I share with you by the man by the name of Richard Owen Roberts. And he states it well. I love Richard Owen Roberts. I'll tell you why I do. He just starts preaching and he just don't know when to quit. If you're not ready for about an hour and a half, don't show up where Richard Owens Roberts is, because that's how long it's going to be. But the man has something to say. And that's what's incredible about it. And he's really, if I may use a term, he's blistering. He preached at Crystal College one time, and I went back the second day, Hank, and I don't know why I went back the second day, but I did. It was a jar full, I'll tell you. But it was God working. And what I want you to understand, he says this, he states it well. He says, I am speaking revival. I am speaking of an extraordinary movement of the Holy Spirit producing extraordinary results. Amen. Extraordinary results. Such was the 16th century Reformation. Such was the great Welsh revival and others throughout history that came. I believe that revival is the evident work of a holy God as we are transformed. And see, transformation never ceases in the life of the believer. It's a constant sanctification. But let me tell you something. Now, you can't have sanctification if you don't have repentance. Because repentance and sanctification go hand in hand. So if we want to be sanctified, we want to be transformed, we must continue to repent. I'm not talking about going and digging something up and trying to find something to repent about. You get along with God, he'll show you plenty. Amen. He'll show you. You won't have any problem with that. He'll bring it to your attention. But you know what the good news is? That he brings it to our attention. That we can deal with it and get rid of it and confess it and repent of it and turn away and move on to the ground that God wants us to take in our Christian lives. I want to see the church flourishing, don't you? I want to say this again to you. This is not a political statement to anyone or anything. This is a great church. It really is. I am blessed to be here, but I believe it can be greater. I believe it can be more of what God wants it to be. I believe we can see God in such splendor and glory that we've never seen before, and that's my heartbeat and my desire. I'll give you one more quote. D.M. Patton said this, "What is revival? It's the inrush of the Holy Spirit into the body that threatens to become a corpse." And that's what it is. We need to be walking in the Spirit. So if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the desires of the flesh, says Galatians, right? We don't want to do that. That is not where we are. So there must be a longing, a cry of desperation. That's where we are here in Isaiah 64:1. That we would experience a manifestation of His. First thing I want you to see, presence. Of His presence. Our presence in our lives, in our homes, in our church, at our work. That's what needs to be seen. And when you look at this passage overall, literally what it is, it's an imagery of God meeting Mount Moses on Mount Sinai. That's exactly what the picture is of it. I was talking to David Kirby, this is my friend of mine sitting down here with Pastor Stephen, that came to the Lord under our ministry back in 1985, and the iron's been sharpening the iron ever since. We were talking about this very thing, and we shared about it and talked about it and the imagery. And I said, you know, can you imagine Moses was a real man in real time, breathed real air, bled real blood. He was a real man, and he's standing on a mountain talking to God in a bush. I can't imagine. I can't imagine an experience like that. But he had it. And I'm sure it was life-changing. And see, all of us need in our lives, I need it, you need it, all of us periodically need a life-changing episode to happen in our life, and that is an encounter with God in a new and fresh way. Amen. We need that because we get caught up in things to do. Nothing is more important than the time you spend with the Lord Jesus Christ getting ready for every day. Nothing more important. Have you ever gone to bed at night and laid down for a minute and you said, you know, I didn't spend time with the Lord today. I wasn't in the Word today. And you get up out of that bed and you go in and turn the light on and get in your chair and sit there and spend some time with the Lord. You ever done that? I'm the preacher confessing I've done that. Because we get busy. We get too busy at times. The presence of the Lord. I think in the Bible, and I look at it, I'm thinking about Isaiah. And I think this is one guy that really had revival. And I think he had it in Isaiah 6 when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And all he could say was, holy, holy, holy. And he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. He's getting personal before God, amen? And that's where we need to come to in our lives for His presence. Isaiah's praying for God to come down. This word, oh, here in this passage indicates from the Hebrew a thirst of great desire. Oh, that you would come down. Oh, that you would do something that we can't understand, that you would move in our midst in a way where lives would be changed, communities would be changed. Any of you ever read about the Welsh revival? Anything about it? They used to use pit ponies there to bring the things up out of the mines. And when revival came to the Wells area, before that, the men would beat the pit ponies, Welsh ponies is what they were. They would beat them. They would curse them, treat them awful. And a bunch of these guys got saved, getting saved, and they began to treat the animals right, appropriately, and they wouldn't even hardly work. They didn't know how to act. Begin to bathe them and feed them right and take care of them. See, what I'm saying is when we get right with the Lord, everything around us begins to change. It changes. Now, I know Baptists are not into change. But there's two or three constants in the universe. I'll only name two. I know there's more than one. Gravity's one. But two constants. God, change. They're constant. Always the same. The presence of the Lord. Isaiah's praying for God to come down in power and deal with the adversaries of the Israelites. because they're in sin and God has loosed them upon them. And it's really what the verse says in verse 2. He says to make your name known to your adversaries. Listen to me carefully. Don't miss this. When someone comes against you because of your faith, when they criticize you and run you down, they're not coming against you. They're coming against the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let them come. Don't worry about it. Some of the times the best things we can do is turn and walk away and say nothing. I know that's hard for most, and I'm one of the most. Very hard for me to say and walk away when someone said to me something that I know is a lie and not true. Had a deacon say to me one time, I went to him and said, these ladies are saying this about me. He said, is it true? I said, no, sir. He said, then forget it. Go on about your business and do. Working, God moving in our midst. Israel is in a sad state at this time. God has loosed judgment upon them due to their unfaithful and rebellious hearts. Do you think that this passage is where America is? That we've moved away from God, that we've turned away from Him? And ever on every corner and everything you look at, it's amazing to how we've turned away from the Creator. And because of that, we're not seeing the blessing. And what most people don't understand is though they're not following the Lord Jesus Christ, not they're not obeying, they're not crying out to Him, He's still blessing them. Because of Him, they eat. Because of them, they have oxygen. Because of Him, they have clothes. They don't understand that God is the provider of both the believer and the unbeliever. He provides for them. Israel had a remnant of faithful people, and the prophet prays for relief. Who God dealing with His enemies. His desire is that God would do what? Look at the verse. Rend the heaven. The word means to tear asunder. A cry of a desperate man. I'm going to get in trouble here. We sing a song sometimes called I Am Desperate for You. Really? Are we really desperate? Is there a desperation in our lives because of the state of our nation, because of the state of the church in this world in which we live? There needs to be a desperation in our lives. That God would do what? Burst forth in judgment on the adversaries. Isaiah desires God to be on the scene. That's the, if you're going to get anything else tonight, that's the key. You can't have revival of good music. You can't have revival by average preaching. You can only have revival if God's on the scene. And God's not on the scene, not much is going to happen. And it works through you and me as we yield ourselves to the Lord and we're obedient to the Lord and we say, yes, Lord, here I am. What do you want to do in my life? Show me in the light of your glory. See, I believe revival is this too, is in some way. It's seeing God in the light of His glory and seeing the light of who He really is, seeing me who I really am, and making the adjustments I need to make. That's the spirit of revival. If this is our desire in this harsh and hard days, filled with tragedy, wickedness, and disregard for the Creator, when you turn the evening news on the night when you get home, do you expect to hear something bad? You shall. But you know what? We're the only newscasters in the world that's got good news. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to broadcast it and share it. It's a wonderful thing to go into these places and talk to people. I want you to pray for Jody. Jody, how many of you know Norris Olmsted? You know Norris? Norris is one of our men, retired preacher. He led Jody to the Lord at Silverado Memory Care Place. He's not in memory care, he's assisted living. But he led Jody, and she was here 2 weeks ago. She and her kids, she's a single mom. I want you to pray for her because we're ministering to her, trying to encourage her. This is where she needs to be. This is where she needs to find her friends and move forward with the Lord. God is working in the lives of people. Revival is not an emotional upheaval. It is God on the scene, the presence of God in purity and holiness and righteousness and obedience. We will never have revival without His presence or His power. And when you have His presence, you're going to have His power. We are a people of power. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? You can too. You don't say you can't, because that's a contradiction to Scripture. You can do it. I fought the Lord 9 years about preaching. Would not do it. Said, I can't. Some people still confirm that I can't. But I'm doing the best I can with what I've got. And all I want is the Lord to be glorified and to use me the days I have left to honor Him and see the kingdom enhanced. His power one day will bring destruction totally to this earth. As fire ignites the wood, says the Scripture in verse 2. As fire ignites the wood, the power of the Holy Spirit can and does ignite a cold, hardened heart. Have you drifted tonight in your Christian life? Have you moved away? Was there a time in your life when you were closer to the Lord than you are now? How many of you in here are beach bums? Anybody love the beach? I love it. My wife's raising her hand, I know. You ever been at the beach and you have a little bit of undertow? I'm not talking about riptide. I'm talking just a little bit of undertow. Let's say that we're out there at the beach, and it's me and Brother Charles and Brent and Pastor Stephen and David. And we're out there, and they're out there, and Brother Stephen and I, we're here in the water, and they're right out here. They're right here where Mark is and Hank. And all of a sudden, we're here in the water. We've been in the water for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And all of a sudden, we look up. Where'd Hank go? Where'd Mark go? They didn't go anywhere. They're right where they were, sitting under the umbrella, drinking lemonade, having a good time. We have drifted. And in our Christian life, Hebrews says, be careful lest you drift, move away from God. And we can do it, listen to me, and come to church every Sunday. Drifting, moving away from the Lord. Confession's always good for the soul, not necessarily good for the character. I have drifted in my life. Yes, I have. But the good news is I didn't drift long. Came back. Got it right once again. See, God's always there to meet you in grace. Always willing to meet you. You just need to come. It's amazing to me in the years I've done this that how many people I see get in trouble, have some difficulty in life, and the first thing they do is abandon the ship. That's the church. They abandon it. They get away from people. Listen, if I got trouble, I want to walk as close to David Fleming and Stephen Trammell and Stephen Morris and the rest of the crowd as I can. Ken Barrett and others. I want to be right up there next to you if I'm having trouble. I don't want to run. We need one another, folks. We need one another to love on, to lean on, to encourage. We need that for His glory. Fire causes water to boil, and it's made pure. As we confess and repent, we become pure, and then the power of God comes on our lives. Fire uncontained can be most destructive, as you've seen in various fires in California and Colorado and other places. But fire control can do a great deal of good. What about the power of God? What about the power of God? On Mount Sinai, fire was controlled. In Scripture, fire demonstrates literally the divine presence and power of God. And in it, we see the awesomeness of God. I have a pet peeve on that word. I won't get in trouble. There's one thing in my life that is awesome, and that is God Almighty. No awesome singing group, no awesome ball player, only an awesome God. It's for Him. He is awesome. He is amazing. He is glorious. He is the wonderful God who wants to change our lives and grow us in grace. And on the Mount Sinai, we see that awesomeness of God in the power of that burning bush. When we experience true revival, someone may say, watch it now, someone may say, well, things in Forest Baptist Church. That's probably good news. I'm not talking about weird stuff. I'm not talking about barking like dogs. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff at all. I'm talking about God being in charge. I'm talking about God being in control of every aspect of our lives. And when we're out of control, He is in control, which means that we're under His control. And when we're under His control, then great things can happen in the church and the lives of His people. Last thing, the people. We see His power. We see His presence. And then we see the people. Look at verse 4 and verse 5. From of old, no one is heard or perceived by ear, no eye seen God besides you, who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you are angry and we sinned. In our sins, we've been a long time, and shall we be saved? See, what I want you to hear me say is everybody in this room tonight needs to be saved from something. It can be your attitude. It can be your appetite. It can be your action. How many of y'all used to read the funny paper? Maybe you still do. How many of y'all remember Pogo? Anybody remember Pogo? Long time ago. You can say that when you get old. Pogo said this one time. We have met the enemy. It is us. Who is your worst enemy? Who is the Ed Etheridge's worst enemy? It's Ed Etheridge. Not Charles Hunt. Not Grover Stevens. It's me. It's just me. And I have to deal with me, and the Lord will show me what I need to do if I'm willing to hear it. We must desire his presence and his power for revival to come. If you haven't read anything of the Puritans, I'd recommend it. It'll stagger you to read it a little bit, but it's worth reading. They used to say this. The Puritans would say, he who believes he needs revival the least is he who needs it the most. Do you need revival? Do you need renewal? Do you want that? Do you want a closer walk with thee, with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want that? Then we have to cry out to him, Lord God, here I am. What is it in me that's keeping me from being all I can be to the praise of your glory? What is it? He will show us. The people of God had allowed sin to dominate rather than being on the offensive. We have given way to the culture. The other day in staff meeting, when Pastor David said that, Stephen, that resonated with me. The church for too long has been on the defensive. We have nothing to be on the defensive about. We need to be on the offensive. I'm not talking about being mean, unkind, critical, rude. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about being a people who know who their God is and unashamedly walks through this world with their head held high in the pride of the cross. That's what we need. To be offensive for the glory of God. We are a people of great power. The scripture tells us that when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, to indwell us, to control us. It even says in Ephesians 4:30, if you struggle with your salvation and you might lose it or can't keep it, it says you're sealed in him until the day of redemption. That's an exciting word, isn't it? Sealed in him. No one can remove the seal. God has always had a people, and I'm convinced he wants to use us at Champion Forest Baptist Church to do a mighty work in this land. My desire as a pastor, which I pastored 6 churches, and the last one, this came to me in what I really wanted the church to be, and I wanted the church to be pure. Size is really irrelevant if it's pure. Because you see, when there's purity, there's power. And when the people are empowered by the Holy Spirit, then all things are possible. Amen? All things are possible. So it's the purity of the body. We can't, as the Israelites were, and I say it this way, they were wallowing in sin. We can't do that and expect God to show up and do something in our midst. We got to deal with it openly. And honestly, all of us have a couple of things in common. First off, we were all born at a very early age. Right? Second is, we're all sinners. No one in the room is perfect. No one in the room has arrived. No one is perfect except the Master. Let's walk in him. Let's let him be in us what he wants to be. He says, come now. Come now. In that very first passage, you go back at it. He says, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. And he talks about the necessity of him coming now. See, the whole theme of this week is God's in the now. See, what we need is God to come now, not tomorrow. We don't need God to come tomorrow. We need him to come today. If he comes today, he will be here tomorrow when we show up again tomorrow night. So we live where? In the now. You can't go back and relive and undo what you've done. You can make it right in the now, and then you can go forward for the glory of God. So the future will only be there, listen to me, the future, tomorrow, will only be there if you live tomorrow. So it's now. If God's speaking to you in some fashion, you need to deal with that right now. He talks about this in the sense of to make your name known to our adversary, that the nation might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down. See, that's what I said, revival may look different than you think it would. See, listen to me carefully. It doesn't matter if you're in the room, if you're 8 or 88, you can live in revival if you want to. If you want to. But you've got to want to. Well, I'm just satisfied. That's something that I'm not much of in anything I do, is satisfied. Anybody who knows me knows that. I am not satisfied. I think it can always be better. I think we can always go further. If I'm down in the bottom of the seventh inning and playing softball at 16-5, I believe we win. Have you ever walked on a football field or a basketball court or a baseball diamond, which I walked on a ton of baseball diamonds in my life, and thought about we're going to walk out there and we're going to lose? No. Can I tell you something? You are victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ today. You need to just grab hold of it and live it for His glory. You are victorious. Somebody says, well, how you doing? Pretty good under the circumstances. What are you doing under there? What are you doing under there? God, listen, don't you know that God ordains and orchestrates the circumstances of your life to grow you into His likeness? Well, let's finish this. The potter's wheel. Verse 8, drop down to verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are our potter. We are all work of your hand. Have you ever been to Eureka Springs and seen the potter and the wheel? He'll take that thing and make something and build it up and get it going, and it'll have a little flaw in it. He'll tear that thing down and start over again. That's what God does in your life. He doesn't tear you down because He's mad at you or hates you. He does it because He loves you. Because why? He wants you to be conformed to His image, which is what? Perfect. Perfect. He wants you to be like Him. Do you know that's why you were saved? So I was saved to go to heaven. No, you weren't. That's a byproduct. That's a fringe benefit. You were saved to give Him glory in the earth and be conformed to His image. That's why you were saved. Now we need to understand that. I'm still being conformed. Sometimes it's not as quick as I like, and I try not to slow down. Well, are we willing to be placed on the potter's wheel? Here I am, Lord. What are you going to do with me? Peter, what's the Lord going to do with you? You're on the potter's wheel, aren't you? You're there. Yes, you are. God's going to do with you and hone you and make you what He wants you to be and use you mightily in going and planting a church. But you had to get on the potter's wheel first, right? Same with all of us. We got to get on the potter's wheel. I'm trying to stay on it. I'm just so glad that somebody here at this church saw me and wanted me to get on it with them. Let's let God be God in the now, doing what He wants to do the way He does it. Let me finish this. God has come down in power many times. He came down in power at the Red Sea. The Israelites, they were Baptist. Say, why would you say that? Because they were whining. If I'd been God, I'd have had 11 commandments. 11 one would have been, thou shalt not whine. But He came down at the Red Sea. Here they are, hemmed up, the water's here. Pharaoh's army's behind them. There's a fire in the night, and the pillar of fire to keep them from coming. And the God opens up the sea and blows the wind across it at night and dries it out, and they walk across on dry land in victory because the power of God came down. Not only that, in the wilderness, when he fed them water from a rock and manna from heaven and quail, because they didn't like manna anymore, so he gave them quail. And the scripture says he gave them meat till it ran out their nostrils. They even whined about that. He came down in the burning bush in the valley of dry bones when David killed Goliath. When Jesus was born, power came down. At the resurrection, his power came down. At Pentecost, on the Damascus Road with Paul, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, on Mount Carmel, may he come down. We need a manifestation of God's power in this place. And he will do it as we yield to him and say, Lord, here I am. Remember the song? Take my life, Lord, let it be consecrated unto thee. That's where he wants us. He's speaking to our hearts. The truth being, we are in the public arena every day. We sing the song, I am what I am. I like the song. What are you? Fair question in closing. What does the world see when they see Ed Etheridge? What do they see? Do they see me operating as a king, priest? Do they see me as an overcomer? Do they see me as a joint heir? Do they see me as holy and righteous and pure? Do they see me as a child of God? Do they see me as a king's kid? How do they see me? The world is watching. And I will assure you that they're watching Champion Forest Baptist Church. What shall they see? They need to see us sharing the good news, living the abundant life, letting others see Jesus in us. We must be on the offensive, for the church is already triumphant. Nothing will overcome it. Armies have marched against it. People try to stamp it out, and some in America trying to do the same thing today. I want to tell you something. It will not happen. It will not happen. The church will always be here, regardless of what a moderate liberal or a conservative thinks. The church will always be here because the church is the body of the living God, Jesus Christ. And one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he, not thee, is Lord. So, do I will for someone to face that judgment? No, I do not. So it's my job, where I go and what I do, is I represent this church and my master to share my faith, invite people to church, encourage them in their walk, be faithful. Let's not be like Israel, who had given up hope and turned away to other gods. What is revival? It's you making a decision to say, Lord, whatever you want to do with me, here I am. Send me. Use me to your glory. I say that for me. And I say this to you, for me in my house, until Jesus comes or we die, we will serve him.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.